Today's daf is daf Zayin. We got to the Gemara at the top, two lines from the top, Rebbe Ami. So the Gemara says, Rebbe Ami, Shara Limival B'tchila B'Shabbos. Rebbe permitted one to have Bia Rishona on Lel Shabbos. We've been having this discussion for quite a while. That's a Rebbe Ami Paskins. So Amri Le Rabban say back to Rebbe Ami, V'holo Kasvi K'suvasa. So it seemed that there's a particular situation where he permitted this to take place, and the Rabban challenged this heter. You're right, maybe you paskin be rishona, there's no problem, but a woman has to have a ksuva. You're not allowed to be married without a ksuva. You can't have be without a ksuva. And that situation was, I guess they got married Erev Shabbos, a last-minute marriage, and there's no time to write the ksuva. So how are you able to get married? How are you able to have be rishona leil Shabbos?
In the ksuva, there is no part that's saying the women obligation towards the men is only the men.
No, it has also some of the women's obligations.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to get to, that's the Maseches Ksubas, so later on we're going to see about the details of what's written in the Ksuba.
Uh-huh.
We're going to see it much later on, like midway through the Masechta. So the Gemara says, Amar Lahu, no, Rabbi Ami said, it was a situation where Atafsua Metaltlin. Rashi explains, where they grabbed the Metaltlin. What does that mean? So Rashi says, four narrow lines down, Atafsua Metaltlin, Tinula Metaltlin Tachaz Yada, give her some property underneath in place of the ksuba, b'mashkon, as a collateral, l'shibud ksubasa, in order to have a lien for the ksuba, ad sheyichtavu shtar ksubasa b'shibud karkos, until they write the ksuba. So you're right, they didn't have a chance to write the actual ksuba, but they said, here's some, I don't know, shoes, some metaltim, take this as a collateral, they give it to her, and this is your collateral that after Shabbos, make sure that Chum put together ksuba and sign everything. So since they had that shibud, that was enough to be in place of a ksuba. So Rav Zvid, four lines from the top. Rav Zvid, Shara Lemival B'Tchil B'Shabbos. Rav Zvid also, in a situation, permitted Bia Rishona on Leil Shabbos. Ikadami, others have a different version of Rav Zvid. Rav Zvid, Gufa Baal B'Tchil B'Shabbos. He himself was married Erev Shabbos, and he himself had Bia Rishona Leil Shabbos. Rav Yehuda, Shara Lemival B'Tchil B'Yomtif. Now we're changing gears. Rav Yehuda permitted it even on Shabbos, even on Yomtif, which is not really sure, even, but he also permitted Bia Rishona on Yomtif. So the Gemara says, "Hobe Shabbos us." Sorry, I skipped a line. I'm a Rav Papa, Papi Mishmei the Rava Lo Tema Biyomtiv Tashari Hobe Shabbos us. Don't make a inference that only Yontif Rav Yehuda permitted it, but on Shabbos he would forbid it. Don't say that. The Huadin Afil B'Shabbos Nami Shari. He wouldn't distinguish. Happens to be Ma'is Shoya Kachaya. The particular case that he permitted was a situation on Yontif. But Ein Hachanami, had there been a situation on Shabbos, Rav Yehuda would have permitted Bia Rishona even on Shabbos. But then the Gemara brings a machlokas that says, no, Rav Papa Mishmei de Rava says, Amar, B'yomtiv shari b'Shabbos asr. He's actually going to be mechalik, that only on Yomtiv is it permitted, but Shabbos it is not permitted. And we're going to see why in just a moment. Why is there such a distinction? So Amar le Rav Papi, the Rav Papa, my daitcha. What's your das? What's your understanding that you're going to be mechalik between Shabbos and Yomtiv? So he explained to me, Toch Shehutra Chabur Letzorech Hutra Nami Shelo Letzorech. Very, very important klal. We have this here in Ksubis, also in Gemara and Beah. Gemara says, since it's permitted, since you're allowed to do a Chabura for the Tzorech Yomtiv, we're going to get into Rashi Tosis in a moment, so to it's permitted Shelo Letzorech. So Rashi says, Letzorech Ochal Nefesh Kigon Shchita, like Shechting. So just like one's allowed to shecht an animal yantif, you're allowed to shecht it, which is a shechita, is a chabura, so too you're allowed to do a chabura of dam besulim, even though it's not letzarech ochal nefesh. It's the din of mitoch, it's called, that it's across the board, the mloch of shechita doesn't apply. So Gemara says, according to that, actually let's stop there for a second. Let's look at Tosfos. Tosfos, long Tosfos here. I'm not sure how much we'll go through. Let's see. Tosfos writes, Mitoch Shehutra Letzorach. So from the fact that Shechit is permitted, says Rashi, he quotes Rashi, Perish, Letzorach Ochel Nefesh, for the purposes of eating, Hutra Namish Letzorach Ochel Nefesh. It's permitted even for non-eating purposes. Ubevad Shehe Tzorach HaNas Hayom, O Tzorach Kiyim Mitzvah B'yomtiv. Very, very important line, he writes, he adds in, has to still be some need. It can't just be unnecessarily killing bugs and just being chaburas. Has to be for purpose of tzarech yomtiv, tzarech hayom, hanas hayom. Ki ahido tzas katan lemulo v'sefer Torah lekrosbo lulav latzesbo. The Gemara in Be'ah says that if you want to carry a child outside, you can't just carry a child outside for no reason. It has to be for the purpose of brismila, for mitzvah. You can't just carry sefer Torah outside unless you need it to read from, and so too you can't just carry lulav unless you're using it for mitzvah. All those examples the Gemara Be'er says are all for mitzvah purposes. Aval shelo l'tzarach hayom klal, says Tosos. If there's no need at all, lo kima, lo. You're not allowed to do it. Kimo hotzas avanim. What?
Talking about tilto?
Calling carrying, hotzah. Tilto is moving, but tilto is usually used for muksa, moving muksa even within a house.
So what are you saying? You're not allowed to take a kid if it's not for shul on Yom Tov?
Assuming there's no Erev. I should have prefaced that. There's no Erev. Then you can't carry it outside.
Is it Hanas Hayom or is it Mitzvah?
Both. Either one. Either one.
So isn't Bia Hana?
Yeah, no, that's why it's permitted. That's exactly why. Just like Tzor Hana, sorry.
It's Mutter. Right, so that's why it's just explaining what is the reason.
Exactly. When we say Shalol Tzorach, it means it's not for Tzorach Ocha Nefesh, but there still has to be a Hanas Hayom. That's why it's permitted. He's just talking in general, there has to be a need, either Kim or Hana.
That's why you can let you use hot water to wash your hands.
To wash your hands, right. Bathing and showering. That's a little different story, exactly, right. Because they say that's not considered shavu l'chol nefesh, which is another need what Gemara is going to explain. Okay, that's probably enough to do for now, I guess.
What?
You're allowed to use hot water, Yom Tov?
Yeah, because Mishim Shehut
Tzadu l'chol nefesh. How do you produce hot water?
Turn it on.
You turn it on, you open the faucet.
So it's not a problem to electricity?
No, you have gas.
Still,
yeah, but it's not secretion.
There's no electricity there.
There's
a fire that's on already.
Depend on the boiler. Some boilers, you know.
No, there's always a pilot.
This pilot, but not always on. Right? Yeah. Today's boiler only.
But that's about when you're cooking. You're right to raise. To
but
raise
that's
the fire.
Always on. But then.
I see. Saying some boilers, the fire turns on and the pilot turns it back on.
Depend on the.
I see. Mm-hmm. So then, if that's the case, you would not be able to turn hot water.
But in general, if it is a pilot, then you can.
Okay, so I think that's enough of Tosos for now.
Every time it goes up, it just creates a new fire.
Yeah.
Really?
And then you shut off, of course.
Okay.
Hot water.
Yeah. Okay, there might be an issue of grumma then if it's delayed. But okay. So then the Gemara says. So we have this concept of the mitoch. Mitoch shehutra chabura litzorech hutra nami shalatzorech. So that's why it's permitted in Yontif, because you have the concept of hutra, of mitoch rather. But when it comes to Shabbos, there's no concept of mitoch, so there's no heter of bia rishona according to this opinion on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, according to this idea of mitoch, el miat, if that's the case, mutulasos mugmar b'yomtif, you should be able to make mugmar. What's mugmar? Rashi explains. Mugmar is bisamim sh'al ha'esh legamer sakelim vesa begadim. Some type of spices, incense that they used to place on top of the fire to help complete the begadim, give it a nice perfume, nice smell. That's something that completed the action. So that should be permitted to put it over the fire because the mitoch shehutra, Gemara says, the mitoch shehutra havar tzarech hutra nami shal tzarech. Just like you could have a fire lit for the purposes of cooking, so that you can have fires lit for non-cooking purposes. Gemara says, Amalei alecha makra, to you I have the following pasuk to respond. Ach, hasha yecha l'chol nefesh, has to be l'chol nefesh, davar hashav l'chol nefesh. Something everybody needs. Not everybody requires cologne, everybody requires perfume, not everybody requires this mugmar. It's not considered shav l'chol nefesh. So Rashi explains, alecha makra, l'chol nefesh, davar hashav l'chol nefesh, mutter, it's mutter, ubi'ila shav l'chol, in contrast to bi'ila, which is shav l'chol, about mugmar eino ela l'mufunakim. Mugmar is only for those who are very, very particular, the finickies, who require this, they want this extra smell, they want to, whatever it is, it's very limited. It's not considered shav l'chol nefesh, as opposed to bi'ila. So it says the Gemara, amar le'i Rav Acha b'rei d'Rava, if that's the case, the Rav Ashi, se'el miata, Nizdamin lo tzvi b'yomtiv holva ino shav l'chol nefesh. So if you have a deer which is venison, that's not shav l'chol nefesh. Most people don't have deer to eat, so that's not shav l'chol nefesh. Hachanam b'da'asir l'mishchatei. So if a person happens to catch it in his a deer became available to him to shecht, he shouldn't shecht the deer because that's not considered shav l'chol nefesh.
Deer is kosher.
Yeah.
So why don't you see it in minions?
It's expensive, I think, and not everybody enjoys it. I don't think. I only have ever had venison. I've seen it before, but never had it.
So it is available.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to go to a restaurant. A typical restaurant will not have it. I've been to a fancy wedding. They were serving venison. Very fancy wedding.
You call it?
Venison, right? Isn't that what it's called? Venison? Yeah.
Venison.
Yeah. So. Also, bison is also considered like that. A very very rare type of meat, which is also kosher, which you'll find at bison.
That's a bison.
It's like a buffalo.
A buffalo.
Very tough meat, yeah. So these are animals that they're kosher, but not very common to find. So since they're not shav l'chol nefesh, most people don't have them. So if you happen to have a deer, teshech l'nantif, you shouldn't be able to teshech them because ain't no shav l'chol nefesh. So amalei ana davar ha-tzarech l'chol nefesh kamina. Tzvi tzarech l'chol nefesh. So the Gemara tweaks it. It's a little hard to understand, but it has to be something that's tzarech l'chol nefesh. So deer, we're being too specific. Deer is food. Food, in general, is something... Everyone needs eating. Right. What you're eating is okay. That doesn't make so much a difference.
Something nice.
Exactly. So the concept of achila is something that's shav l'chol nefesh. What you're eating, so that everyone has their own choice what to eat. But once achila is permitted, so that's considered shav l'chol nefesh. Even though the particular deer isn't, but the overall achila is, and it's considered shav l'chol nefesh. I'm just looking. There's a Tosos here in the bottom for a second. I will ignore that Tosos for now. So, I'm continuing with the Gemara now. The Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Yaakov, Amar Rabbi Yaakov, Bar Idi Hora Rabbi Yochanan B'Tzaidan also livel b'tchil b'Shabbos." The psak in a place called Tzaidan was that Rabbi Yochanan paskin it's also to have birishona in the first birishona on Shabbos. Mi'ika Hora le'Isser. We have such a concept of giving a hora for Isser. What does that mean? To look at Rashi. Rashi says, Mi'ika hora le'Isser. U'mi'kari Isser hora. Mishum dechol adam rasha lahachmer v'ha'ose ein te smicha zvarm shafilu me'asafik shein halacha berulo hubav aser. You call a hora to say something to aser. Anyone can say something to aser. You just want to take the safe route. Just say, okay, it's aser. You don't know. We don't call that hora. A hora is when someone's matir something. Saying something to aser is very easy for somebody to do. But matir, says Rashi, somech al shmuaso, person who's matir, o al svaras chachmaso, he hora. That's hora. Being mechadish something, a heter, not to say we're looking for a terim, but it's very easy. The baseline's always aser, until we know otherwise. So once you create a hora, that a heter, that's considered a hora. Similar concept we have to Rashi explains in Be'ah, why koch da ter adif? Why is koch da ter adif? Sometimes the Gemara likes to present to emphasize the matir opinion, the person who's matir. Why? We're trying to look for kulas. No, because that's the same thing we're saying here. It's very easy to be machmir and say usr. The one who's going to be mekel, he put his effort and he really looked into the research and he did the koch da ter. So his koch da ter, he must be the right person. He must be right because he's willing to go out on a limb and put himself at risk by saying, I think it's mutter, going against everybody else. I would say nowadays, unfortunately, I don't know if that's going to be the case. Someone who's Mekel, we're not necessarily going to believe him because he's Mekel. The Yir Shemayim isn't there as much, but that's the understanding of the Gemara, at least. The Koch Deter Adaf, that's the idea here. So you're going to call, because he says the Aser, that's Hora, a special Hora, Rabbi Yochanan made, he'd say it's Aser to be Rishon on Shabbos. Whereas in, yes, we do find such a concept of Hora by Isurim, but Hatzanan, the Mishnah tells us, there's a Mishnah that appears in Maseches Nazir, we'll get to in a few months from now. We're in Ready Seder Nashim. So it says the Gemara, Horu Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel gave the following psak. Shetehe Nazira Od Shevashanim Acherus. That she should be a Nazir another 7 years. So this is a story about, Rashi explains, Horu Beis Hillel rather. Mishnah Hibim Maseches Nazir. Behilni Hamalka. Good trivia question. Where else do we find Hilni Hamalka? Yeah, I'm not sure many. There are two that come to mind. It could be many.
Brachos.
She gave the
Ketoret.
Yeah,
Maseches Yuma. Yeah, Yuma.
Right. Yeah, very good. Sukkah, right in the beginning. That Beis Mabez, the children. More brachas, I don't remember. It could be.
Their brother-in-law. She's married to Yana?
No, I don't think she's on.
Mumbaz.
I don't think she's married to Yana. There's a story of Yana, the Gemara, about making the bracha. They invite him to make a bracha.
Mumbaz was her son or her husband?
I think it's a machlokas, actually. I'm not sure if it's so clear. Anyway, so those are two places, maybe in Brachos also. So here's another story about Hilni Amalka. Says Rashi, Sheyasa b'na l'melchama. Her son went out to war. V'nadra sheva shanim b'nazir, or nazirit should be probably. She took a nether upon herself to become a nazir. Now, these are one of the questions Rav Shechter liked to ask people before entering the Kol HaElyon, and he likes to ask very basic questions to people who like learn for many years. They sometimes learn the fancy stuff, but they never learn the basics. So one of the questions he was known for asking is a woman allowed to be a Nazir? people start thinking, I don't know, I mean, we always think of Shimshon. Shimshon's like the prototype of a Nazir. So people don't know, but the answer, the Pasuk says, Isho Isha, Ki Yazir Nezir Lashem. So a woman could be a Nazir, the Mefurish Pasuk. So she took upon herself to become a Nazir, B'chutz La'aretz, V'also La'aretz, then she went to Eretz Yisrael. So Harua Beis Hillel Shete Nazir Od Shev Shanim Acheros. So I believe, the Gemara Rashi doesn't explain, I believe the situation is, since she was in Chutz La'aretz, the Eretz Ha'amim, Chutz La'aretz, is Metameyu. So when she, so, exactly. So I think, so certain standards are different. When she left to Chutz La'aretz or something, she had to restart the 7-year count over again. So Beis Hillel gave the Psak Harah that she should recount the 7 years. So I see Adams really wants to find the Gemara in Brachos. sorry.
Because of Tumat Eretz Amim.
That's what it says, right?
Yes.
So they made them recount the 7 years. So we see from here, here's an example of using Lashon Ahara, even by Nisr, saying she's Usher for another 7 years of drinking wine and cutting her hair and becoming Mitame Mace.
She converted the whole kingdom converted.
Okay.
So the whole kingdom converted, right?
I don't know. But she was Jewish. I don't know.
She was a Geras. I'm not sure.
Okay, so then the Gemara says, "Inami." Another application, another example we have of hara by Nisr. Kihadatani. The Brisa tells us, "Chud hashidra," the spine, shenifsak beruba, that has been split majority of the way down. Divrei Rebbe. So this is talking about, I guess, what the definition of a trefa would be. My guess, Gemara in Chulin, right? It's taking it as a trefa here. Yes, Rashi says. Okay, a Rashi trefa. There we go. So Rashi's trefa. So if the most of the spine is snapped, then that's going to be considered trefa. And that means the definition of trefa is an animal or even a human that cannot live for more than 12 months. So once a spine is snapped, we don't think they can live for long for 12 months. And Rabbi Yaakov Omer, Afilu Nikav, even if there's a hole in the spine, that's enough to render the animal a trefa and puzzle to not kosher to eat. So Hora Rebbe Rabbi Yaakov. So Hora Rebbe ends up giving Hora. He passed like Rabbi Yaakov. Rabbi Yaakov was more machmer, even a hole. So even a hole would be enough to disqualify. Rebbe gave Hora to Aser like Rabbi Yaakov. So we see yet a second example where Hora is used for an Isser. So Gemara says, Amri Rebbe Ravuna, Ein Halacha Rabbi Yaakov. We do not pass like Rabbi Yaakov with respect to Trefa. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Masni, Hachi, he learned the following. Amri Rabbi Yebohu Shal, Rabbi Yishmal Ben Yaakov de Mintzur. I heard what's the psak with respect to Bia Rishon on Shabbos. So there's a lot of back and forth going here. First they say Aser, then they say Mutter, then they say Aser, then they say Mutter. In the end of the day, the psak is, it's Mutter to have Bia Rishon on Shabbos. Then the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Chelba, Amar Rabbi Huna, Amar Rabbi Abba, Bar Zavda, Amar Rav. Achas besula v'achas almana, whether it be a woman of first marriage or a widow remarrying, tuna bracha, they require a bracha, which Rashi says, tuna bracha is birchas chasanim, the sheva brachos, that's required. Umi amar Rav Huna, hachi, does Rav Huna really say that's the case? V'amar Rav Huna almana ena tuna bracha, then almana does not require bracha. How do we reconcile this? Lo kasha, kan be'bachar shenasa almana, kan be'almon shenasa almana. If it's a bachar, a person, his first marriage, who's marrying a widow. So then, because of his sake, they have birchas chasanim. But if it's an almon, he's also been married beforehand, and she's also been married beforehand, then you would not require a bracha.
This is under the chuppah we're talking.
This is under the chuppah, at this stage, probably under the chuppah, right? We're going to get to how many days, end up being days. But the almon, shenas almon, an almon who marries an almon, lo, they don't get brachas at all under the chuppah, at least in this havamina. How do you know that you require, when Shev Brachos require 10 people, a minion? Right, Boaz married Ruth, and they're both had been married before him. So we say the source of Shever Brachos that requires a minion is from this story here, and it's an almon and an almana. So we see that they do require, they do get Shever Brachos. So Gemara says, "My eino tuna bracha." What does it mean they don't get bracha? It doesn't mean they don't have bracha entirely. What it means is, "Amar Huna eino tuna bracha kol shiva." They don't need 7 days of shev brachos aval yomecha tuna bracha. They do at least need the day one. At least under the chuppah, they go and get shev brachos, but they don't need 7 days. Now, the truth is,
7 days are reshus.
It is. It's a. I guess what it would be saying is they don't get seven. Even if they wanted to, they wouldn't get 7 days. It wouldn't work. Exactly. But you're right. For a chas and kala for the first marriage, it's only reshus. Not everybody opts into shev brachos for every single night. It gets a bit. It gets tiring. So not everybody likes to do it. But it's pretty common to have 7 days of them. But there is a need for minin. I was once at a shev brachos, and a bunch of people were there, and then we realized that we didn't have a minyan of men. It was a bunch of couples. It was a relative. We had a lot of people. It felt like a lot of people were there, but ended up being only 9 men. And we said, okay, let's bench. And then we counted. We're like, we only have 9 men now. We can't do shev brachos. So we had to figure out what to do, because once you say, let's bench, that means the meal's over. Normally, you could have invited a neighbor over to have a little mizonos or something, or even a shakol, and join in. But we already said, let's bench. The suda's over, so he can't be considered joining in. So I called up a posek at the spot, and he said he wasn't sure himself. He looked up the answer, then he ended up saying, don't do shev brachos.
We were now by Moshe Silva on Friday night, so he invited people. So he didn't bench it. We had dessert.
So you added in, you ended up being the minion.
Right.
You said, let's bench in English?
Yeah.
The voice said, let's bench.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, once you say that.
Once there's an agreement, that okay.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
What if somebody says, no, I am not done yet?
Well, so then that's right. That's right. If someone says not. But the Lashon the Gemara Psachim, Ari Psachim, is, I think, Havlan Nevarich, let's go bench. Right. Even though that's not Rabbi Sain Nevarich, it's a Hebrew way of us, or an Aramaic way of saying, okay, let's clear up and let's bench. So we already decided that everything with the benches were out, and probably even said Shir Malos, I think. And, okay. So, the Gemara says, so when it comes to an Almon and Almana, they get 1 day of brachos. When it comes to a Bachar, and seemingly also a Besula, then they would get 7 days of Shav brachos. So, Elo Hodatanya. So the Bryce that says, Shoktu Chachamim, Al Takanas Bnos Yisrael, Shehei Samechim Ashlosh Yamim. So the Chacham made another Takana. This is a different Shoktu. We had a Shoktu that came before, early in the Masechta, that there's 3 days of preparation before the Suda. There's another Shoktu, another Takana Chachamim, after the Chasna, that there should be 3 days that the Chasna and Kala should spend with each other. So what's the situation talking about? Why only 3 days? We thought, right now we only had 1 day versus 7 days. Where does 3 days come from? Now you're going to tell me we're going to ready make a distinction. One's talking about brachos, one's talking about spending time with each other. But at this point, the Gemara thinks they're going to be equated. So what's the situation? Who's the situation where there's going to only be 3 days of shev brachos, let's say? Bimai. Iba bachor, if it's talking about a bachor, a man's first marriage, ha'amris shiva, he gets 7 days of shev brachos. Iba almon, if it's talking about an almon who's already been married before, ha'amris yom echad, he only gets 1 day shev brachos. So what's the situation where there's going to be 3 days of shev brachos? So Iba yisema ba'almon yom echad, lebracha v'shloshe l'simcha. No, it's talking about an almon, einechanami, a man from who had a previous marriage. This is second marriage, he only gets 1 day of shev brachos, but he still has a need for 3 days to spend with her. 3 days to take off from work and spend with her. Or we're talking about a bachar, his first marriage, where he gets the 7 days of shev brachos, but he still has that requirement of spending 3 days with her of simcha. And that's why it's customary that I think nowadays the minog is to be with each other for 7 days. So sometimes someone is in law school or college or can't miss a class, he'll bring his wife, and his newly married wife, to class with him. You know, some will do that, and others won't. Others will, you know, have a shomer. They also deen him of shmira and stuff. But this is a big deen of spending time with each other, at least 3 days, if not seven. Then the Gemara going on top of Amin Beis says, Meisive. Mivarchin lebesula shiva ul almana yom echad. When it comes to besula, she gets 7 days. And when it comes to almana, she only gets 1 day. So up until now, we've been talking about the perspective of the man, the bachar versus the almon. This brisa presents it from the perspective of the wife. So, my lava filu almana shenoses lebachor is not talking about a case of an almana. Even if almana marries a bachor, they only get 1 day, but we said a bachar is supposed to get 7 days. Where it says, no, lo la almon. If an almana marries an almon, then they get 1 day. Aval lebachor, says the Gemara, my shiva, they would get 7. So, this is not a steer to what we've been saying up until now. We're assuming it all depends on his status, being an almon versus a bachor. Ihachi, that's the case. Listen, they should have taught in the Braisa, Mivarchin lebesula shiva Ulalmana shenises lebechor shiva. Ulalmana, or really, it should probably almon. Maybe it should be ulalmon yomechad. So the Gemara, the Brisa Shiv said all the different permutations. Why did it leave out that very important line of a almana marrying a bachar of 7 days? So Gemara says milsa psikasa katani. They gave a milsa psikasa, something that was across the board a decisive psak. The leka basula the batsim shiva. They're giving the extreme cases. There's never a basula who gets less than 7 days. She always gets 7 days. And there's never an almana that gets less than 1 day. But yes, there's going to be an almana that might get more than 1 day if she marries a bachur. But those are the extreme situations we're talking about from the perspective of a woman. The, again, a basula is always going to get at least seven, regardless of who she marries. And almana is always going to get at least one, regardless of who she marries. But there are situations where almana will get 7 days if she does marry a bachur. Gemara says, now quotes from something we said above, that gufa. Amar of Nachman, Amar Lihuna, Barnasan, Tana Minayin Lebracha, Chasanam Basar. How do we know that Birchas Chasanam, Meshav Brachos, require 10 people? They require a minion. Shinemar, the Pasuk says, Vayikach, Hasara, Anashim, Bezikne Ha'ir, when it came to Boaz and Ruth getting married, Vayomu Shivu Po, that they gathered together 10 men from the city, and then they sat in that place. So the Gemara says, "V'Rebbe Abo Amar Mihacha." He brings a different source that you require a minion for Sheva Brachos, which is Makelus Berchu Elokim Hashem Mekor Yisrael. Pasuk is found in Tehillim. Makelus is from the depths that they're going to bless you. Mekor Yisrael says Rashi. What does this mean? Second Rashi down. B'Makelus Berchu Elokim Es Hashem Mekor Yisrael Al Birchas Mekor Tach Kal. On the bracha of the Mekor, the bracha of the source, it requires a kal. Kal is always understood to mean a minion. V'hainu asara k'ma kal hakel sa'eda, v'ina kal b'pachas me'eda, v'eda asara k'delfina, and g'mar brachas, me'eda miraglim ad masa le'eda hara yatsu yoshu v'kalif. So we find all over Shas, and g'mar brachas in particular, that kal always refers to a minion based on a number of gezer shavas, kal to eda to miraglim, and so on and so forth. So when it comes to the bracha of the mekor, bracha of the source, but even perhaps bracha of the uterus, the source of children, that requires, which is of course what marriage is all about, having children. So that's what requires a kahal, a tzibur. That's the source according to Rabbi Abo.
Does anybody ask, though, you might say that you need a sarah for yibum and not for regular kiddushin, or no? Because all pasuk is that he did yibum, no?
We're talking about Rus, you're saying.
Yeah, about Boaz.
Well, yibum is just another track of kedushin, another track of marriage. Yeah, I think so. So the Gemara says, Rav Nachman b'haikra to Rabbi Yebohu my darish bay. Rav Nachman who used a different pasuk for the source of a minyan. So what's he going to do with the pasuk in Tilim that Rabbi Yebohu used? What's that drasha? So Gemara explained, my darish bay mi ba'ilei needs it for the following brisa lichadatanya. Haya Rabbi Meir Omer minayin shafilu o ubrim shebimei iman. How do I know that even the children, the fetus, thank you, that are in utero, Amru Shira Ahayam, that even they said a Shira on the Kriyas Yamsuf, Shinem Arbe Makelos Baruch Hu Elokim Hashem Mimakor Yisrael. Those who were in the Makor, those who were in the uterus, they were also giving bracha, giving praise and singing Shira to Hashem at Kriyas Yamsuf. Idach. So what's Rabbi Bo going to do with this, if this pasuk is based on this drasha? If it simply wanted to tell us that the fetus was giving shira, just say mibeten, from the stomach of the mother. Why did it change the word to makor to tell us on iske makor, which is, again, a marriage which has involvement of the iske makor, which has what to do with peruvu? That's to make a second drasha that you require a minyan, you require kal when it comes to birchas makor. Rabbi Abohu, b'hai kra, Rabbi Nachum, my darish bay. So Rabbi Bohu, who learns the source of Minyan from Mimakor, was he going to do the drasha of Rav Nachman about the story of Rus and Boaz? So my darish bay, hahu mibaylei lemidrash, it's needed for the following drasha, that Amoni v'lo Amonis, Moavi v'lo Moavis, that the only people who are usher of these nations are the man, but not the woman. This we saw in Gemara Nivamas already, so that's what we learned from here. How do we learn this from here? Disagadaitach lebracha l'salki esagi delav zekenim.
What you said about Yibum.
Because Boaz did Yibum. He didn't do regular
Chatanah. Aha. The fact that all the Zakenim came must have been a confirmation from their Psak that this is all permitted. Wasn't Rus come from Moab? Rus came from Moab, so how is she allowed to marry Boaz? How is Moses able to marry her? So you see, this was the confirmation from the Zakenim that the Paskin that Moav vi blo Moavis. I think that's Pesach. So that's why this serves as a proof that Shu again, Amoni vlo Amonis, Moavi vlo Moavis. That's what we learn here from the Zakenim here. Not that you require a minion for this, but to publicize this Pesach. Okay. Well, that's what Gemara continues to say. V'idach, the other one says no. Isak
adaitach l'medrash. We learn Ammonia Moabi from the Pasuk in the Torah.
Well, they weren't sure if that's a good drasha or not. That was a discussion we had, whether that's really a relevant drasha.
So here
they're saying, so why they invite to Canaan? Why trouble them? Why don't you get 10 young men? Much easier to schlep them to a Shavu Brachos. They want to bring them to Canaan to show the confirmation that they agree that this was a good marriage. We, in fact, do Paskin Moavi v'lo Moavis.
Right.
And the Gemara, and then the other opinion responds back, no, Isak, Vidach, Isak, Adai Techel Medrash, Lo Sagi Dav Asara. So, okay, according to you, if the reason they invited people over is to confirm that Moavi v'lo Moavis, so there's no need for a minion. Why do you have to get a minion together at all? Just have five of them to say that we were there, present, we observed this chasana, and we approve of it. So why do you have to have ten people? The fact that there are 10 people must be to teach us that Sher Brochus, it didn't Sher Brochus, now to teach me the drasha of Moavi v'lo Moavis. Gemara says, no, in the Prishumanisa, you do need 10 people, because with 10 people, that makes it Prophesia. That's a way of being Mepharsim, this halacha of Moavi v'lo Moavis. V'chadamar le'shmuel le'rev chana b'gdasa, which is a place, Polk Vais Li Beasara, go out, bring me 10 people. Vemalicha banfayu and say, I'm gonna say to you in front of all them, Hamazakil Ubar Kana, that the person who's Mazakil Ubar who's going to give to a not yet born child will be a good kinim. So he invited 10 people around there to publicize that's the Pesach Halacha. So we see we have such a concept elsewhere where 10 people are used not for anything for needed of a davar kedusha or a minion, simply to publicize a fact. But as an aside, the Gemara says Hilchsa Mazak Luber Lokana. Just don't get it wrong. By the way, even though that's the Maisa, we don't paskin that way. But we still do at least see that 10 people are sometimes used to publicize something, even though they're not needed for a davar shebekedusha minyan. Okay. So Gemara now gets into a whole discussion now of Birchas Chasanim. This is going to carry us to tomorrow's daf as well. All the different brachas that we say under the chuppah. You make the brach of Birchas Chasanim, the Sher Brachos, in the house of the Chasanim. Rashi explains, Lav Dafka, the house, but Beis Chasanim, Kishenichnas al-Chuppah Nisun, whenever they enter the Chuppah. The Chuppah becomes their home, their temporary home. Now, they used to get married actually in the houses, I think, also. But nowadays, our Chuppah serves the purpose of Beis Chasanim, and that's where the first set of Sher Brachos are set. So, Yehuda Omer, Af Beis Ha'erison, Mivarchan also. Even in the Beis Eirusin, which we don't have anymore, if they were to get engaged, and they would still say brachos in that in b'sher brachos in the house of the Eirusin where they got engaged. So Amar Abayi Rabbi Yehuda Shanu. That case of Rabbi Yehuda was only true in the area of Yehuda of Eretz Yisrael. Mipnei shemisyached ima. In Yehuda, they did some interesting things, like Gemara talks about all the time. Rashi says shemisyached ima. They would have yichud be'Eirusin kedei she'libo gasba. They would put them in a situation of yichud in order to get them more excited to get married. Lefikach, therefore, bevarachin birchas chasanim mitchila. Since they had yichud, according to many, is going to be itself a chuppah. Detanu maseches kala kala blo bracha asur lebaila kinida. So the idea, since they had this yichud, even though they weren't necessarily going to be married at that point, it's still some level of marriage that takes place. So even in the place of Yehuda, they would do Sher Brachos, because once they're doing, she's becoming a kala now, so then a kala without bracha is usher, like a husband, la kenida. Now this requires some explanation to it, but that was what took place in the area of Yehuda. Okay. Now, Tosfos explains what that line means. Look at Tosfos, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, on the bottom there, the short Tosfos. He writes, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Af Beis Eirusin, Mivarchin, Osu, Mipnei Shem, Mishyachin, Ima. V'aminan, the, I think it's a Yushalmi. No, it's the beginning of Maseches Kala. The Maseches Kala writes, Kala b'lo bracha, Asura, l'baila kenida. So a Kala without a bracha is Asur to their husband, like she would be a Nida. Well, the feed, the reason is, says Tosfos, the explanation of this line is, the fi shepamim ba'ala shelo l'shem chuppah. Sometimes there's going to be bias znus. So osin bracha mitchila kadei sheteh kal bevracha. So therefore, we make the bracha in the beginning to ensure that the kala has a bracha. I'm not sure what that really means. It sounds like the bracha is a way of focusing his kavana. It should be l'shem chuppah. That's his way of making his focus. It shouldn't be l'shem znus. It shouldn't be l'shem anything else. It should be simply l'shem chuppah. And by giving a bracha beforehand, it allows that focus to be there. That's what it sounds like from Tosfos.
But we have, on a regular chuppah, we have Birkas Hanisulim.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one who is...
Messiah Kedushin.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Then you have Shia Brachas afterwards.
Correct.
This is talking about Birkas Nesulim, or because it seems that the bracha that is Matir the Kala is Birkas Nesulim, not the Shiva bracha. I don't know the halacha, but from the context of the brachos, it would seem that it's...
I'll say what goes on under the chuppah. You tell me where the question is. The way it works is that we have they first say the bracha of Birchas Erison, which the Gemara is about to present under the chuppah. They first have that, which is well. Let's read inside now.
Okay, let's do it first, and then we'll.
So the Gemara says.
I'm mixing up the right. Erison. Right, probably.
So the Gemara says Tani Idach. There's another brayse that says Mevarchin Birchas Chasanim beis Chasanim. You do say the Shara brachos in the house of the Chasanim, the chuppah. And you say the base Birchas Erison, which we'll see in a second, in the house of the Erison. So Birchas Erison, my Mevarch, what's this bracha, which is the first bracha that the Masada Kedushin says when he gets up there. Rabin bar Rav Ada, Rabba bar Rav Ada, Tervayo, Mishmei, Rav Yehuda, Amri, they both say, Baruch Ata Hashem, Lokinu Me'achalam, Asher Kedushan B'mitzos V'tzivanu, Al Harayos, V'asa Lanu Es HaRusos, V'hiter Lanu Es HaNusuros, V'Yedichub V'Kedushin. So this is the Erison.
Exactly. Confused.
That's the first bracha that's said.
Right.
And then Chasan puts the ring on the Kala's finger. And then they end up, they end up drinking the wine, a little bit of the wine. And then there's Erison took place, but not married yet. Then oftentimes they'll call up the Rav of the Kala side. He's going to read the Ksuba as a little interruption, one a little hefsek. And then they're going to have the standing just on the chuppah becomes a chuppah. Then they have the shebrachos. They're calling people shebrachos. That's right now they're married. The marriage just takes place. Being on the chuppah itself is a level of marriage. They have the shebrachos, and then they go into the yichud room as another level of yichud, another level of marriage. So that's the basic structure. So now this bracha, so that's what we say under the chuppah. So now it becomes a question. So how do you assign this bracha? Rav Acha Bre de Rava Messiah ba Mishmei de Rav Yehuda Baruch Ata Hashem Mekadosh Yisrael Ayidei Chuppah VeKedushin. So they would be Messiah with that and the little bracha at the end as well. That's a long bracha. That's what we do under the chuppah. And Man de Lo Chasim, the one who doesn't have such a bracha, the chasim at the end. Why don't what pshat with them? Why is there no chasim? Now we pass when there is a chasim, but those who don't have a chasim, mi de dehava birchas peros vabirchas mazon, birchas mitzvahs rather. So just like Birchas Peros, it's a very short bracha. There's no beginning and end bracha. It's just Birchat Hashem Elokeinu Me'achalam Borei Pri Ha'etz. There's no bracha in the beginning, bracha at the end. Same thing with Birchas Hamitzos. This is no different. So look at Rashi. So Rashi explains Birchas Mitzvos Al Hashchita V'Al Hamila Dechem Dechul Echad Hodah. He's all one Hodah. Now it's quite interesting, by the way, that he calls a Birchas Mitzvah a Birchas Hodah. It's a very, very interesting point in general how to understand Birchas Hamitzos. Not so clear that that's the case. Some review understand that I think Ritvah and Pesachim understands Birchas Mitzvah to be a Matir. I think that's the Ritva, right? V'ein Hefsek Bakash Bein Taim Lo Bay Chasimam. And there's no interruption. There's no request here at all. There's no need to have any concluding bracha. Kedamar Barve Pesachim Birchas Hamitzvos Taim Amay Mishum De Hodahi Hanamikul Hodahi. It's based on the Gemara, he says, but it's all Hodah. So since it's one hodah, there's no interruption, there's no need to say a concluding siyum, a chasim at the end. Now the other opinion, Rashi Gbar says, v'abirchas mitzvos, oman de chasim, the one who does have a chasim, which is how we paskin, mide de have a kedusha, no different than kedusha, kiddush rather, Rashi explained, mide de have a kedusha. Kevin de beloshin kedusha hi, ki kiddush hayom chasiminim ba ki hasam, it's very similar to kiddush. In Kiddush, we have a bunch of interruptions, if you will. So we need to go back and get our focus back on, focusing on Mekadosh HaShabbos. Here too also, we have a number of interesting things that are mentioned along the way. The Birchas Erison, we have to come back and get our focus on the din of Mekadosh Yisrael, Ayidei Chuppah VeKedushin. That's the different machlokas here. This is a big, big discussion. Very interesting. Machlokas Rambam and Rush and others showing them about the nature of this birchas erusin. Is birchas erusin a birchas hamitzvah or is it birchas hodav? So it sounds like from this gemara it's unclear how to paskin, but the Rush and Rambam have this machlokas. Some say kedushin in its own right is a mitzvah. To get married is a mitzvah. That's the Rambam paskins. And this would be birchas hamitzvah, which would mean you have to say the bracha over l'siyasan, just like before we shake lulav, we say the bracha birchas mitzvah, turn over the esrog and shake it. Just before you put tzitzit on, you say bracha and then put it on. So to here also, you should say the bracha of erusin and then do harayat b'kodesh libet tabasu k'das moshev Yisrael. But the Rush is, no, there's no mitzvah of kedushin. What's mitzvah kedushin? The mitzvah is peruvu. Kedushin simply a hechsher mitzvah to get to peruvu. That's ikar mitzvah. So he ends up saying that birchas erusin is not a birchas mitzvah, it's birchas sherech voda. According to the Rush, you could, I don't remember what he actually says, I didn't look this up, but he, according to that reason, I think he says you say the bracha after you've done the kedushin. When it comes to birchas sherech voda, when you say thanks, the praise for Hashem for seeing lightning, hearing thunder, it's always after the event. So here too, also birchas erusin, if it's a shevach v'hoda, it should be after the event. That's a general distinction we have between different brachas. There's a massive, massive machlokas about kedushin, whether it's a mitzvah or not.
But nisuin.
Nisuin is certainly a birchas mitzvah that everyone's going to agree. But there's no bracha on it. We don't have
it's
these.
No real bracha.
These shav brachas
no,
are all
right.
Yeah,
all,
right.
There's no real bracha.
There's no bracha on it. Okay. So should we go ahead here? And then I guess the next things are going to be... Let's do one more line. Two more lines. Let's do that. Two more lines. Okay, and then tomorrow's daf is going to go through all the shev brachos. So two more lines, I think it's worthwhile. And we'll do a tosos maybe. Says the Gemara of the two dots, Taner Rabbanan, Nivarachin birchas chasan and basar. As we saw already twice, you require a minyan for shev brachos, kol shiva all 7 days. I'm a Rabbi Huda, v'hu shebo panim chadashos. It's only if, panim chadashos, only if a new face, someone who had not been there yet, has come now. Rashi explained, panim chadashos, b'chol yom shlo hayusham esma, who was not there the day before him.
That it sucks today too.
Yep. This is a fascinating. This is a,
except for Shabbos.
Exactly. So look at the Tosos in the bottom. Tosos says this. Tosos in the bottom, the very last Tosos writes, v'hu shebo panim chadashos. Omer ri, the panim chadashos ain kari el b'fnei adam shemarbim b'shvil hasimcha yoser. It's only someone who they actually like. If an enemy comes, somebody they don't even know, a random person, that's not going to bring them for the simcha. That's not going to allow for panim chadashos. So this is a big, big machlokas. I think the Rambam says otherwise. Some say it's all about bringing simcha. Others it's about giving bracha. I think Aruch HaShulchan, the Sipur talk about all these inyanim. If it's about giving a bracha, they want someone new to give them a bracha, then anybody could give them a bracha. If it's about that gives them simcha, then Tosfos says only somebody who actually gives them simcha, who they're going to be happy with their presence. That's a big machlokas. Tosfos, Rambam, and a number of nafkamina. So then says Tosfos what Ricky said, v'shabbos d'chashrinim panim chadashos, fasting Shabbos serves the same purpose as panim chadashos, d'arminan ba'agada mizmor shil yom ha'shabbos, that's a medrash of quoting, medrash agada, as opposed to medrash halacha. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Panim Chadashos Balakan Nemar Shira. So a new face has come. Shabbos has come. It's a new Shabbos. Let's sing Shira. So Hasam Nami Marbin Nechavot Shabbos B'Simcha U'Besuda. So we also we respond to the new Shabbos with Kavod with Simcha. So too with Shav Brachos, you don't need a new person to come for Shav Brachos. It's enough to have Shabbos serving as Panim Chadashos.
Everybody on Shabbos has panim.
Very good.
Meaning you're a different person on Shabbos. So.
Beautiful. It's a great word. Okay, let's do a quick review. The Gemara says we start off a big machlokas whether or not this mutter to have bir rishona leil Shabbos or not. We had a point that wait a second. The situation was they didn't write a ksuva. They didn't write a ksuva. How could you have bir rishona leil Shabbos? We said it was a situation where he took hold of the metalton as a mashkon as a collateral, and that's enough to allow for bir rishona after Shabbos. They were going to go write the ksuva. Then we got into a discussion. There was one opinion who thought there's a distinction between Shabbos and Yom Tov. On Yom Tov, it's mutter to have bir rishona, but not on Shabbos. So that was the basis of that mitoch. The mitoch shehutcher letzorach, hutcher namish letzorach. Since you could shecht an animal letzorach ochonefesh, you could also perform a chabura shelo letzorach ochonefesh. We saw Rashi Tosis whether it has to be a need for Shabbos, some type of hana or mitzvah or not. That was a side point. Then we said it also has to be shav l'chol nefesh. It's not enough to have just a stam tzorach. It has to be something that everybody equally enjoys, such as achila. We suggested maybe a tzvi, a deer, might be different. We said no, tzvi falls under the rubric of achila. That's across the board, as opposed to mugmar is only for certain people. That would not be permitted on Shabbos. Then we had a side point discussion about whether a hara could be used when it comes to being assering something. We gave two examples where by trefa and by nazir, where they use lashon hara by iser. We ended up paskening that's mutter to have bir rishona on Shabbos. Then we got into a discussion of shabrachos and shaktu. The halacha was that in almon gets one day shabrachos, and a basula, if an almon married a basula, then there's shabrachos. If a bachar married an almana, there's going to be 7 days. If it's an almon to an almana, then there's only going to be one day. We quoted the Gemara that quotes the shaktu, that there's an institution that there should be 3 days where the husband and wife spend with each other after the chuppah. And then we went to Amun Beis, and we discussed shabrachos. There's machlokas, the source that you require minim for shabrachos. Either it's learned from Rus and Boaz, or it's learned from the Makalos Baruch Hu Elokim Hashem Mekor Yisrael. Lashon Hakel is always lashon of 10 people. Then we had machlokas, what each person thought of the different sources. So we learned the concept that the Ubrim should be Me'iban, even they had said a Shira al Hayam. We also learned the halacha that Amoni v'lo Amonis was learned from these psukim. And then also interesting idea that when you want to publicize something, you should get 10 people together in order to publicize a halacha. And that was viewed, that was in the context of Mizakal Uber Kana, but we pass in Mizakal Uber Inokana. Then finally we saw the bracha of Birchas Chasanim take place in Beis Chasanim and Birchas Erison in Beis Erison. And we brought the whole Nusach of the Birchas Erison. Okay. Shkoyach.
Shkoyach.